Hi, I'm Ted Holteen, and this is Durango 1918, The Pandemic, the War, and the Peace. Our new KSUT series explores what life was like in the fall of 1918, a time when the Spanish flu spread all over the world. America had already entered World War I, and the future looked mighty uncertain. Our series is co-sponsored by Colorado Humanities and the Southwest Humanities Roundtable. The Roundtable is a coalition of local organizations which create and promote History Live every September. You'll see banners and brochures around town announcing all the programs, and our show, Durango 1918, is part of that project. I want to thank the Roundtable for coming up with the idea. Also, Tammy Graham and Ken Brott for finding airtime. And special thanks to Spencer Snar and Daisy Grice from the Durango Public Library for being crackerjack researchers. Very special thanks goes out to my colleague Judith Reynolds for writing these scripts. To tell the story of Durango in 1918, I'll be reading from primary documents: the Durango Democrat, the Durango Evening Herald, the Silverton Standard, the Gunnison News Champion, and Denver's Weekly Courier. So, let's begin. On Sunday, October 8, 1918, the Durango Evening Herald sadly ran a story about the arrival of the Spanish flu in Durango. I quote, "Yesterday, October 7th, Dr. H.C. Turrell reported 7 cases of Spanish influenza in this city. Those afflicted are Mrs. Bert Thomas and child, Mr. and Mrs. Bates and child, A.C. Spaulding, and Ed Scoob. It's thought some of the above-named men, employees of the Rio Grande Southern Railway Company, contracted the disease somewhere along the line and, not knowing they'd been exposed, came on to Durango and as a result communicated it to the members of their families. Dr. Turrell stated that none of the patients were dangerously ill. Dr. Lingenfelter, the county physician, was interviewed in regard to influenza, its origin, symptoms, and remedy. He said Spanish influenza evidently is very similar to the epidemic of grip, which swept the country during the winter of 1889-1890. Very probably the infection was resurrected in Europe and, after sweeping the war-torn countries, now has made its appearance throughout most of the United States. In outlining the origin of the present worldwide epidemic of influenza and in defining the symptoms of the disease, the doctor said, quote, it seems probable that in 1918, as in 1889, the earliest appearance was in Eastern Europe, and by April, cases were occurring on the Western Front. It stated 30% of the population were attacked in May. The spread of influenza throughout the United States has been by no means so rapid as in 1889, when the disease appeared in America almost simultaneously with its appearance in Western Europe. Unlike today, in 2020, citizens in 1918 were struggling with 2 catastrophic world events: the Spanish flu, which ended up killing about 550,000 Americans, and World War I, which killed between 25 and 50 million. America had joined the conflict late in April of 1917. Newspapers of the time had to balance the 2 calamities, the war and the pandemic. In the fall of 1918, the Durango papers and the Silverton Standard, like all newspapers, filled their front pages with news of both the war and the flu. Here's how the Standard encouraged Silvertonians to buy more Liberty Bonds to support the war effort. Dateline, Saturday, October 5th, 1918. Keep hitting hard and smacking harder. The progress now being made on the Western Front in Europe is of a highly encouraging type. While the masses of men which have been transported from the United States to Europe are now in excess of 1.5 million. More are being sent over every day, and there's no reason to doubt that in less than 10 months there will be 3 million American soldiers on the Western Front. Immediately below this story, the Congregational Church announced its Sunday services. 10 a.m. Bible school, 11 a.m. morning worship, sermon subject, Thank God, Take Courage, But Fight On, Buy a Liberty Bond Now. The same week in Durango, the announcement of 7 cases of Spanish flu shook the population. Fearing the spread of the virus, the Durango Evening Herald interviewed Dr. Lingenfelter. Quote, the symptoms in the present pandemic have been an acute onset, often very sudden, with bodily weakness and pain in the head, eyes, back, and elsewhere in the body. Vomiting may be a symptom of onset, and dizziness is frequent. Chilly sensations are usual, and the temperature is from 100 to 104 degrees, the pulse rate remaining comparatively low. Sweating is not infrequent, the appetite is lost, and prostration is marked. Constipation is the rule. Drowsiness and photophobia are common. The fever usually lasts from 3 to 5 days. Besides bronchitis and pneumonia, inflammation of the middle ear and cardiac weakness may follow the disease. All ages are attacked, young active adults being especially susceptible. In Germany, there's been such a preponderance of cases among the young that it's supposed that the 1889 epidemic conferred an immunity on most of those at present more than 30 years of age. The progress of the Durango people now suffering with the disease will closely be watched, as will the spread of the disease, and at the first sign of becoming an epidemic, the public schools and the theaters and all public meeting places likely will be ordered closed by the officials. Durango was not alone in the rapid spread of Spanish influenza. All over Colorado, the number of cases increased in early October. Again, on October 8th, the Durango Democrat featured a different item featuring county physician Dr. Lingenfelter. Quote, "Yesterday morning, Dr. H.A. Lingenfelter wired Eric Kennedy, M.D., Denver, Secretary of the State Board of Health. 7 cases here under railroad surgeon. Do you advise closing public institutions? Please answer immediately." Mr. Kennedy wired, "Yes, governor has issued proclamation to close all public places. Close them tight." Government officials acted swiftly, so swiftly that the Durango Democrat published this headline, followed by the full text of the governor's proclamation. "Health officers order all public meeting places, schools, theaters, and billiard halls closed in an effort to stamp out the dreaded Spanish influenza." Here's part of the governor's formal proclamation. "Whereas the national government has impressed upon us the importance of taking action in this grave matter, now therefore I, Julius C. Gunter, governor of the state of Colorado, do hereby call upon the various health officers of the state and upon the public press to advise the people of the state of the danger of public assemblages and to impress upon them that Spanish influenza is a crowd disease. And I do further urge upon all mayors and city and town officers take appropriate action to arrest and prevent this dread disease by closing theaters, churches, schools, and other places where people assemble until the epidemic has run its course, except military camps and also colleges where quarantine has been established by lawful authorities. I further urge that the quarantined be respected to remain at home while suffering from severe colds or other indispositions until the nature of their illness be determined." After reading this, Durango Mayor Harry Jackson, owner of Jackson Hardware, a longtime Durango business that helped popularize the commercial marketing of Navajo weavings, crafted a local call to action, published, of course, in the Durango Democrat. "Mayor Jackson, acting in cooperation with the call of the governor, last night issued the following proclamation. All schools, theaters, picture shows, pool and billiard halls, and other public places in the city of Durango are hereby ordered closed until further orders from the Public Health Department. This is done to stop the spread of influenza, and all good citizens are urged to do all in their power to assist the health department to stamp out this disease. Dated this 7th day of October, 1918. Community leaders joined the shutdown immediately. For example, also from the Democrat, "Last evening, Superintendent Smiley of the Durango Schools stated that while the high and graded schools would be convened this morning, but they would be recessed for the remainder of the week. J.O. Taylor in the Gem Theater closed his place last evening, and all other places named in the mayor's proclamation will be closed today. If the people of Durango will cooperate with the health officials, it is thought that the dreaded and sometimes deadly Spanish influenza that has made its appearance here can be controlled and an epidemic prevented. Parents, keep your children off the street. Keep them at home and in the yard, and perhaps you may save their lives." Later the same day, the Durango Evening Herald sadly reported news that shocked the entire community, the first city death attributed to the Spanish flu. Tuesday, October 8, 1918. Louisa Bass is first influenza victim. Spanish influenza this morning at 5 o'clock claimed its first victim in Durango when Louisa, the 8-year-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Edward Bass of 920 Main Avenue, succumbed after but a 4 days illness. 5 new cases of the disease are reported today by Dr. H.C. Turrell. They are F.L. Harvey and his wife, 547th Avenue, right across from the Park School, 2 others of the Burt Thomas children at their home, and a Mexican lady. There are other cases, undoubtedly, but they are not reported. The next day, the Durango Democrat gave a fuller account of Louisa's death. "Yesterday morning at 5 o'clock, little Louisa Bass, aged 8 years, closed her eyes in eternal sleep from an attack of breached pneumonia at the home of her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Edward Bass of 920 Main Avenue. Little Louisa was born at Cokendale, Colorado, just 8 years ago, she having passed away on her birth anniversary. Mr. and Mrs. Bass have been residents of this city for nearly 3 years, and during this time, the little girl had made many friends among the children, who will sadly miss her and mourn her passing. Owing to the order against public gatherings, on account of the threatened influenza epidemic, only services at the grave will be held. The funeral cortege will leave the Damon Johnson parlors at 10 o'clock, and interment will be made at Greenmount Cemetery. In the News and Views section of the newspaper, readers learned about Louise's funeral and two more deaths in Durango. It was the practice at the time to list cause of death as pneumonia. October 10th, funeral services for the late little Louisa Bass were held at the grave yesterday, Reverend Mr. Gumby being in charge. The little girl passed away from an attack of pneumonia. Isabella Vigil, the 10-month-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Vigil of La Posta, passed away from an attack of lobar pneumonia at an early hour yesterday morning. Funeral services at La Posta this morning under the direction of Damon Johnson Undertaking Company. Also, Baby Dead, the infant son of Mr. and Mrs. J. Glade Snodgrass, passed away from infantile trouble late last evening at the home of the mother. The little fellow that closed his eyes in eternal sleep was but a few weeks of age. Funeral will be held this afternoon at 3:30 from the Damon Johnson Undertaking Parlors. Mr. Snodgrass is with the American Expeditionary Forces in France. I'll repeat that in case it went by too swiftly. The father of the infant boy who died was serving in the American Army in France, which again speaks to the two massive calamities facing the United States in 1918, the war and the pandemic. In the same edition of The Democrat, the paper ran an overly optimistic story about the European pandemic. From October 8th of 1918, flu epidemic thought under control in Army. Local newspapers, of course, featured their front pages with news of the war and the epidemic, but they also had other pages to fill. To close out today's episode, here are three filler items that also tell us something about 1918 in Colorado. The highest temperature yesterday was 67 and the lowest 48. This is in October. The sun rises this morning at 7:14. The Graydon Mercantile Company announces, ladies, we have a full line of Gossard corsets and brassieres. We are also headquarters for men's furnishing goods. And visited Bayfield. Mrs. J. L. McHugh is home from Bayfield, where she visited relatives and friends for a few days. Bayfield used to be quite a voyage. Next time, we'll pick up the story in the fall of 1918 as Coloradans continued to struggle with two overwhelming calamities, the Spanish flu and the Great War. We'll see you then.